Tonight, rainy weather and a welcome reprieve as the wildfires burn across Alberta. Dampening the danger this holiday weekend.
This could be a turning point for the firefighters working out there.
And assessing air quality more than 2 weeks into a provincial state of emergency.
Even if we just do this, we're happy.
A Canadian executive tries to atone for his corporate carbon footprint.
I was wondering how much damage I personally have done.
The purpose of an epic pilgrimage.
You could call this entitled rich guy walks across Europe.
Plus, new players in the private space race.
And liftoff, Falcon 9.
The launch of a landmark journey to the International Space Station.
Hello from outer space.
CTV National News with Omar Sachedina. Reporting tonight, Heather Butts.
Good evening. After weeks of hot, dry weather, some relief today for crews battling raging wildfires in Alberta as cooler temperatures, humidity and rain finally moved into the province.
This could be a turning point for the firefighters working out there on the fires.
Also helping keep temperatures down for crews, thick, hazy smoke. But the poor air quality also comes with the risk of detrimental health effects. CTV's Tyson Fedor reports on the warnings for outdoor enthusiasts even as football season gets underway.
Go, Stamps, go!
It may be preseason, but Stamps fans are roaring to go for another shot at the Grey Cup. A thick haze blanketed Calgary Monday morning, casting doubt on whether kickoff between the Edmonton Elks and Stamps would actually go ahead.
There's always a concern, but we can wear masks if we suffer.
Fans continued their pregame tailgating with barbecues and food. The CFL agreed to push kickoff by 30 minutes after air quality levels at field level were acceptable to play.
They did the same thing in 2019, and it was a half hour delay. It turned out good. It's Alberta weather.
We're still good to tailgate. We're here. Even if we just do this, we're happy.
The air quality health index at kickoff was 7.
Being outdoors when that air quality health index is 7 or above, we would say, you know, think about moving indoors, avoid being outdoors. If you're starting to have symptoms, cough, runny nose, feeling unwell, fatigue, headache.
But late Monday afternoon, the dark clouds started rolling in. The thunder started rumbling shortly after that. It forced the Stamps and Elks from returning to the field after halftime with a lengthy suspension in play. As for the smoke, Calgary is expected to look a lot clearer over the next 2 days. But if that thick haze returns, health experts agree those with underlying health problems should take more precautions.
For someone who's high risk, though, we would say even at a 7, avoid being outdoors. So if you're thinking about a run or sporting activity, maybe this is a time to pause and not do that. Reschedule it.
Tyson Fedor, CTV News, Calgary.
Canadians will soon learn whether or not former Governor General David Johnston, now Special Rapporteur, will announce if a public inquiry is needed into foreign interference. Here's CTV's Judy Trin on the anticipated decision and what's at stake.
In the heart of Canada's democracy, worries are percolating.
There's a lot of consternation out there about what China's been doing in our democracy.
This China analyst says many Canadians want the special rapporteur to call a public inquiry.
We can't move into the next election with this hanging over our heads as a democracy, wondering whether the nomination process, the electoral system, is safe from Chinese interference.
But there will be things we will disagree on.
Tensions between Canada and China have increased since last fall. In October, we learned China was operating illegal police stations. Then came the intelligence leaks that Beijing targeted 11 candidates during the 2019 federal election, allegedly funneling money to their campaigns.
To be clear, the threat does not come from the Chinese people, but rather from the Chinese Communist Party and the government of China.
In March, using unnamed sources, Global News alleged that Han Dong had advised China to hold off freeing the two Michaels. Dong denied it, then resigned from the Liberal caucus and launched a lawsuit.
The truth will protect us.
Then came revelations Conservative MP Michael Chong was targeted by a Chinese diplomat who's since been expelled. Officials knew but didn't tell Chong for 2 years.
If I go back now, I will be immediately arrested.
Hong Kong democracy activist Gloria Fung has been threatened by Chinese agents for years. She's relieved the government is finally paying attention.
Being late is better than none. So we urge our government to act in accordance with Mr. Johnson's recommendation.
David Johnston spent the past 2 months interviewing government officials and analyzing top secret reports. Heather will find out Tuesday afternoon if he'll recommend a public inquiry.
Thanks, Judy. The Assembly of First Nations Quebec-Labrador is calling for a member of Quebec's governing CAQ party to resign after suggesting Indigenous women lied about being physically and sexually assaulted by police officers. CTV's Matt Gilmore has that report.
It's not something you see very often. A sitting MNA confronting a mayor in his own district during public questions at a city council meeting. Residents in Val-d'Or had been complaining about the city's response to the town's homelessness problem, an issue that mostly affects Indigenous people, when Pierre Dufault, the MNA for the area, stepped to the microphone and suggested the town get serious. He says the town should round up the 25 or 30 most hardcore people that are scaring the community.
Totally irresponsible and unacceptable in my view.
Assembly of First Nations Chief Ghislain Picard says portraying homeless Indigenous people as criminals ignores why they're in that situation to begin with.
There are a number of key social issues at play here.
La discrimination systemique.
In 2019, the Vienne Commission found Indigenous people face systemic discrimination in Quebec. The public inquiry came after numerous Indigenous women told Radio-Canada they'd been sexually abused by members of the provincial police in Val-d'Or. Last week, Dufault called that report full of lies, then attacked the Vienne Commission, saying the city should have defended the police. For Picard, the comments damage the work of reconciliation.
It raises questions about, you know, the legitimacy or relevance of that individual to represent, you know, its writing. And that's why we went as far as to say, well, maybe he should resign.
Dufault has since walked back his comments, saying his words went beyond his thoughts. He did not respond to our request for an interview. Matt Gilmore, CTV News.
States in America's Southwest struck a landmark deal with Washington today to help avert a water crisis on the Colorado River. Under the new agreement, California, Arizona, and Nevada will use roughly 13% less water in exchange for more than $1.5 billion in federal compensation. More than 40 million Americans and farming communities across the West rely on the drought-stricken river. Spanish soccer is embroiled in controversy tonight after being condemned by one of its star players as a, quote, country of racists. Vinicius Jr. unleashed a torrent of outrage after he was called names by chanting fans during Sunday's game. CTV's chief international correspondent Paul Workman now with the problems on the pitch.
Well, this has turned very ugly indeed. Scenes we never want to see.
For two seasons, Vinicius Jr. has tried to shrug off the racism. Ignore the abuse of fans chanting the word monkey from stadiums across Spain. This weekend, when it happened again, the Brazilian star player hit back with a searing and anguished outcry aimed not just at soccer fans, but Spain itself. It wasn't the first time, nor the second, he declared on social media. Spain, he said, is becoming known as a country of racists. The effect was immediate, wrenching, and humiliating for Spanish soccer, and felt well beyond. From the president of Brazil, where Vinicius grew up in poverty. It is not fair, he said, that a poor boy who is winning in his life is insulted in every stadium he goes to. The game in Valencia was briefly halted after Vinicius complained about the abuse, only to be cast as the bad guy and penalized in the final moments for getting into a scuffle. The whole stadium was shouting, monkey, 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 said a very distraught Real Madrid coach. I've never experienced anything like it. We have a problem, admitted the president of Spain's Football Federation. A problem of behavior and racism, he said, that can stain the entire country.
Play stopped here for a good 5 minutes.
Vinicius Jr.'s agony is now out there for all to see, and his anger. Spain, he wrote, is a beautiful nation which welcomed me and which images. I love, but is now exporting a racist image to the world. The Spanish Football League has been embarrassed into action by one of its own rising stars, who says that if something isn't done about the abuse and the name-calling, he might be forced to leave Spain and play somewhere else. Heather.
Paul, thank you. Russia says it is battling a cross-border raid in its Belgorod region in one of the biggest attacks of its kind since the war began. The local governor claims an armed group of Ukrainian saboteurs burst past the frontier, shelling villages and clashing with Russian authorities. Ukraine denies responsibility and calls the attack an act of resistance by Russian opposition groups. Tragedy in Guyana after an overnight fire ripped through a school dormitory, killing at least 19 children. Firefighters struggled to contain the massive flames engulfing a girls' dormitory. The secondary school in central Guyana serves mostly indigenous children. Officials believe it was a malicious act. The nation's president has declared 3 days of mourning. Time for a short break, but when we come back...
There's just not enough supply. It's very tight.
A rethink on the rental market as prices hit the roof. Plus...
And it has created a lifetime of happiness.
An Edmonton eatery and kindness made to order. Facebook's parent company, Meta, was hit with a record $1.75 billion fine today by the European Union for violating privacy rules. The American tech giant has been ordered to stop transferring data collected from Facebook users in Europe to the United States. The penalty is potentially one of the most consequential in the 5 years since the EU enacted a new data privacy law. Meta said it will appeal the ruling. A surge in rental costs is forcing Canadians to take a closer look at where they can afford to live. The average price for a rental has spiked to astronomical levels, and as CTV's Melanie Nagy reports, many tenants are finding themselves out on the curb in an impossible market.
With the dizzying high cost of rent in Canada, it's getting harder and harder to find an affordable place to live.
And I think that's really unfair to people because when they do lose their housing for whatever reason, they want to move, they just have nowhere to go.
According to new research released this week, rental prices surged in April. A national housing site, rentals.ca, says costs are up 9.6% compared to the same time last year.
Well, we have a huge problem right now. There's just not enough supply. It's very tight, so there's a lot of competition.
In recent months, vacancy rates have fallen to record lows, particularly in big cities like Vancouver and Toronto. And that lack of housing inventory has been driving up rents, with the average national asking price now more than $2,000.
Unfortunately, the problem is not going to go away without a lot more supply.
Another challenge for renters, increasing eviction rates, with BC reporting the highest in the country.
That higher eviction rate for BC holds true, and again, that difference is statistically significant.
The University of British Columbia's Housing Collaborative says in recent years, more than 10% of renters were forced to move by their landlord. That's nearly double the national average.
The higher incidence of no-fault evictions is driving that overall higher rate of evictions in BC.
No-fault evictions occur when a renter is kicked out, often because landlords want to sell, renovate, or move into the unit.
Maybe we need to think about housing as a basic human need or as a basic human right and not just as a commodity.
Advocates across the country are calling for better tenant protection. Without it, they say the rental market will continue to crumble. Melanie Nagy, CTV News, Vancouver.
Still ahead, contemplating climate change.
This issue around CO2, I didn't understand it until about 2 years ago. I was wondering how much damage I personally have done.
Making inroads to wipe out his carbon footprint. The UN has painted a stark picture of the human and economic toll inflicted by extreme weather. Over the past half century, close to 12,000 weather and climate-related disasters have killed more than 2 million people. The economic damage fueled by wildfires, floods, and storms has reached an astounding $4.3 trillion U.S. That's 5.8 trillion Canadian. The World Meteorological Organization says the impact is turbocharged by man-made global warming. A Canadian man is shouldering the blame for how much damage he has personally done to the environment. The executive-turned-climate activist came to a crossroad in life, determined to reimburse the planet while motivating others to follow in his footsteps. CTV's Danielle Hamamjan caught up with him during his 6 months on the road to redemption.
These days, all Craig Cohan does is walk. He walks up to 40 kilometers a day across Europe to make up for what he did for more than 40 years.
This issue around CO2, I didn't understand it until about 2 years ago. I was wondering how much damage I personally have done. And then a journalist like yourself said, well, why don't you remove your lifetime carbon footprint, Craig? And I said, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it.
These are all the passports.
There was a time when all Cohan did was fly.
Trips to Palm Beach, trips to Ethiopia, to Stockholm, Paris, Argentina.
A Canadian executive, he launched Coca-Cola in Russia.
I think I've flown back and forth to Russia 250 times.
Where he also co-owned the Cirque du Soleil. He made a lot of money and left his mark around the world in the form of a carbon footprint 28 times bigger than the average Canadian, which he's now offset by draining his pension fund.
I took my pension fund of $1 million and figured out how to remove my historic footprint, not my future footprint, my historic footprint, by sucking carbon out of the environment.
Cohan is currently walking from London to Istanbul to raise awareness and talking to any and everyone who will listen.
You could call this entitled rich guy walks across Europe, but to Craig's credit, he owns it.
When we spoke to him, it was day 137 of his journey.
I'm going to be the cynical reporter here. Convince me that this is not a very elaborate, time-consuming, expensive PR stunt.
I'm not going to convince you. The PR is just part of trying to get some action on this issue about removing 2 trillion tons of carbon.
An unlikely activist who's on a 4,000-kilometer guilt trip to show that carbon comes at a cost. Danielle Hamamjan, CTV News, London.
A trip among the stars also comes with a hefty price tag. A multi-million dollar private space mission docked at the International Space Station today with 4 new people, including the first woman from Saudi Arabia. As CTV's Jill McAshon reports, the journey is paving the way for a shift in space exploration.
Dragon is firmly attached to the International Space Station. It's home for at least the next 8 days.
For a group of space tourists, the accommodations might be tight. The nearly 16-hour flight, a little rough, but the view can't be beat.
I'm really excited about returning to space, but even more excited about welcoming 3 new astronauts.
The chaperone, flight commander, former NASA astronaut Peggy Whitson. John Schaffner, an American investor and race car driver, secured his ticket to space back in 2021. There's Saudi Arabian fighter pilot Ali Al-Gharni and biomedical researcher Rihanna Barnawi. She is the first Saudi woman to travel to space.
Greetings from outer space. I'm here not only representing myself, but representing the hopes and dreams of everyone back home.
The astronauts paid an undisclosed amount for their trip to the stars, though previously cited prices ran around $74 million per person.
A very great flight. Wish you safe travel.
SpaceX launched the 4 private astronauts, but it's another company called Axiom that is conducting the mission, its second paid excursion to the International Space Station.
Axiom Space is about making living and working in space commonplace.
With the ISS expected to be decommissioned by 2030, today's space race isn't about countries, but companies.
Axiom is talking about building a private space station, but they're in a race with a lot of companies that want to do the same thing. Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin wants to build a space station. There's another company that just entered the race called Vast.
Axiom is planning another private mission to space in November. The astronauts now orbiting Earth are scheduled to return next week. Jill Macashon, CTV News, Winnipeg.
After the break, serving up sign language.
It has created a lifetime of happiness for my daughter.
The restaurant with a recipe for compassion. We leave you tonight with a heartwarming story of inclusion. Staff at an Edmonton restaurant are using the universal language of kindness to make one young customer feel more like family. CTV's Jessica Robb explains.
How are you? You okay?
Going for chicken nuggets and fries is more than just a lunch stop for 5-year-old Ashlyn and her mom, Kaylin Forsberg.
It took 3 seconds for Donald to say, hey, I know some ASL. And it has created a lifetime of happiness for my daughter.
This tiny customer is completely deaf. Her mom admits it was scary to hear those words for the first time, especially as a new parent.
And then once you calm down, it's like, oh, it's just hearing. Her heart's okay. Her lungs are okay. Like, she's a happy child. She's healthy. I'll learn around her.
What she didn't expect was for other people who meet Ashlyn to have that same mindset, especially at the local donair shop.
I found out that she was deaf, so I kind of wanted to communicate with her in a sense without her feeling not welcomed or not feeling at home about where she is.
Manager Justin Halavi taught himself some basic signs, like how's your day, to communicate with Ashlyn when she came in for chicken nuggets. And one of his employees, Donald Rayroso, also dusted off some ASL skills.
I know the basics when I was in elementary, just literally the letters. A thank you, hi, hello, so that's it.
But it wasn't just that's it for Ashlyn or her mom. It's a safe place where Ashlyn now asks to go and see her friends.
I almost cried, almost. I was very, very close to tears. Anybody who will take the time to try and learn for her and just associate with her, play with her, she just thinks it's the best thing ever.
For the workers here, learning to communicate with Ashlyn was a no-brainer.
It is not actually just the sign language that actually is here right now. The universal language we're talking about here is kindness.
Next on the list to learn is Ashlyn's usual order.
The 6 chicken nuggets with some fries and some ketchup as well.
One they already have a head start on. Jessica Robb, CTV News, Edmonton.
A very caring group. That's our show for this Monday evening. I'm Heather Butts. For all of us here at CTV National News, thank you for watching. Omar Sajedina will be with you tomorrow from Ottawa. Good night.
CTV National News, Canada's number one newscast.